Hey everyone, it's me, Allison. On Thursday, I sat down with Chris Laxamana, Matt Fondelier, Gary Smith, and newish Corolla Digital employee Kaylin Bean, and we learned about the time Chris wore high heels and was chased by a pregnant woman who wanted the shoes when he was done with them. And then on Monday, I was joined by our very own Larry Miller, and we talked about all sorts of stuff, including his accident earlier this year and the secret to Chicken Larry. Subscribe to Allison Rosen is Your New Best Friend on iTunes or go to AllisonRosen.com. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. I love you.
Allison's your new best friend.
Hey, I'm Adam Carolla.
I'm Dr. Drew.
And we are here to ask you to do us a little favor. If you like what you hear, share it with a friend.
Nice. Keep the pirate ship afloat, right?
Yeah, well, that's the only advertising we got. But it's the best kind.
It is.
Word of mouth.
It is.
Whose mouth?
Yours. Not yours, theirs.
Theirs.
Theirs, yes.
That's right. Thank you in advance for telling a friend, and enjoy the show.
This is Corolla Digital. Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah. All right, come on out to Portland. And see me live?
That's right, the Aladdin Theater.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Oh, okay. I got you now. Hell, day is it? Wow.
Saturday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, come on out and say hi. Only the late show, by the way. Tickets available. Just
what, is the other part sold out?
First show sold out. And
damn.
First show in Seattle sold out. Only the late show available as well. And that thing's on its way out. So
What? Oh, the late
the
show.
The Seattle show, yeah. So you want to jump on that. All right, Dr. Drew here.
Yeah.
Adam Carolla here. Get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. And a mandate to get on. So, Drew.
Yeah.
I was watching your program last night.
Yeah. I mean, your wife was watching my program.
Well, yeah, but I got to hit the bathroom every once in a while, and I do pass by the TV set,
yeah,
and there
right.
you were.
Right, right.
And you're talking about the kid, the young kid who hopped on the airplane and stole a car and blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And
9-year-old.
9 years old. And, you know, stole the car, got on the plane. I don't know how you get on a plane at 9, but I do know if you walk through life with enough purpose, sometimes...
Well, especially at nine,
yeah. you just get through the cracks. Must be the government shutting down that mm-hmm. Caused the
so
light insecurity.
You know, the impact it has had on me is I was getting audited by the IRS.
Uh huh.
Those mother effers.
Nah.
Can't come after you today.
Shut them down. I know. There's not a human being I know that's been affected by this. So who gives a shit? But here's the thing. I was watching this with Lynette and. And I just said to her, look, you know, see, you know, what's a parent to do, discipline, this and that. I just thought, I said, look.
Well, you and she engage in a conversation. This already is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You spoke.
I spoke at her.
Okay. Well, right, of course.
And I said, look, there are, you know, 92% of the children can be changed with, you know, you get parents, you create circumstances and environments and things like that. Yeah. And then there's just 8%. They're doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
And
what'd you hear me saying about that kid?
Well, she said that's what Drew said.
Yeah.
Which I said, you know, great minds. But
where do you think he got that idea? I'm sure this is what Impact said.
No, she knows I know and you know as well that whatever you set up in place is good for 90-something percent of the population.
There are things that are untreatable. Lots of things. Unchangeable.
And unchangeable in a positive way.
Absolutely.
Too. I don't think Steve Jobs was changeable.
Right. There's resiliency factors that allow people to go walk through horrible things and have no consequence.
And, again, there's a... By the way, in my mind, the negative... And I know I'm always a glass is half... empty.
Oh,
but
so you're a little negative?
Sometimes.
Oh, really?
But I do believe the negative side of this is more changeable than the positive side
of this. Right, you can't make people extra good. Is that what you mean?
No.
but you can make the bad a little better.
No.
No. Okay.
I don't think you can take a aforementioned Steve Jobs or any historical figure, Teddy Roosevelt or whatever they did, and whatever their whatever they were doing at a young age that their parents disapproved of, I don't think you could get them to stop at all.
Right.
I think if Steve Jobs was cutting his classes, going into the garage and soldering circuit boards together, I don't think you could stop that.
Or if you did at your own, you do it at your own risk. You know what I mean? Because he would, there would be a reaction.
He'd run away.
Yeah, right.
Or whatever.
Right.
I believe that behavior, and by the way, look, as a parent, as a society, you have behavior. And you want to alter that behavior. You want to alter this kid from going to an airport and jumping a flight to Vegas. And you want to alter possibly Steve Jobs from cutting his classes and going into his garage and getting out his soldering iron. I don't think you're going to alter either one of them.
Yeah.
But either way, there's sort of negative behavior you want to alter. Hey, that guy's shoplifting. And then there's, in a way, what will be positive behavior. It's not now.
Right. You don't identify it. You identify it as cutting class.
Right. Yeah. Not as making circuit boards right. in your garage. Right. And you don't know what a home computer is right. because it hasn't been invented yet because this guy hasn't cut enough classes right. to invent it. And look, you know, maybe we're talking about, maybe there's, you know, many other names involved here. But just as example, Steve Jobs. So I don't think you're going to talk him out of it. And the 9-year-old, you're not going to talk out.
So let me talk about this for a second, because there is good evidence that psychopathy, you know, somebody that does not have
was that the kid's name?
Right. Well, that's his.
I know it's a man of color.
Nickname.
Okay. Psychopathy.
Psychopathy is where people don't really have real feelings. They don't understand feelings. They see them in other people and sort of adapt to them and learn to act as if they had feelings,
mm-hmm.
manipulate other people's feelings. They torture animals. They feel nothing if they torture people.
Mm-hmm.
That's a brain thing. We can mm-hmm. show it on MRIs and stuff, functional MRIs and things. You can't really change that. I think this kid has something in that spectrum, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to change that. You're just not. You can maybe shape it and maybe make it less risky and things, and you can make it a lot worse for sure,
mm-hmm.
right? You smack that kid around, guess what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, everyone's advocating that we whip that kid. Oh, that'll end up in a good place. That'll be a kid. Now you've got a serial killer in your hands.
Well, all right.
But there's more. Hang on. So what, you want to talk first?
I do want to say that I was looking at this kid like a Bond villain holding his cat going, I'm impressed, psychopathy. I'm impressed. Like, I was like,
you're the villain.
Yeah, I'm the Bond villain. Yeah, yeah. Like, I'd start recruiting him to work over
Sydney
here.
Sydney Green Street. You're
yeah.
Casablanca.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Petting my cat. I see a lot. I feel like a lot of guys started off as hustlers. Maltese
yes.
Falcon?
I think it's Maltese
yeah.
Falcon.
Yeah. Started off.
Look it up here.
A lot. You know, first thing this Sydney guy Green. Has is a motor.
Yes. For sure.
And a lot of hustle and a lot of smarts.
And vigilance, like super figuring stuff out, you know, right?
Right, and nerves of steel. And yep. it's all the kind of things that make you a great fighter pilot.
Absolutely.
If you could turn it that direction.
100%. And that was what my panel was sort of saying. Well, you can't really disagree with that. And it may be possible. And that was the point we were making. It's like, and somebody actually said this, well, if 1 out of 100 can be turned, we should work on this one, all of them. It's like, it's a lot of resources, but okay.
Well, I mean, first off, I don't know that they won't turn themselves in the sense that – try to figure out who's in the Maltese Falcon.
Yeah, no, wait, I got to get close down.
All right, you got to blow it up. Now, Drew's walking with his headphones over to the screen.
Sydney Green Street.
Sydney Green Street from the Maltese Falcon. Timely reference. So I don't know – here's what I'm saying. You talk to – you know, all right.
Fat guy with the cat.
Fat guy with the cat. Okay. And maybe a fez? Or was that another
movie? No. He was a white dude.
I know, but white guys rocked fezes back then.
More think Burl Ives.
Okay. All right, now.
Another timely reference.
Silver and gold. Silver and gold.
Right off the red nose.
Here's what I wanna say. Jay-Z.
Yeah. No, that's right.
The richest guy on the planet, but at some point he was hustling drugs.
Yeah.
But all.
How do you find. If we could. If we in mental health could figure out. Pick that one out. Wouldn't that be great? Pick
well,
the one out of the
here's,
group.
Here's the thing.
In a way, it's your story.
You can pick.
You could be Ray.
Ooh. Yeah.
That'd be terrible.
I could be banging a 28-year-old. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, no, negative. Right. Gotcha.
Right.
Got it. 22. Sorry. Gotcha.
22-year-old?
I don't know. This is no expiration fucking date on Ray. Uh-huh. But here's the point. All of the folks that hustle at an early age, whether it's, look, the guys that are selling drugs in the inner city are just the hustlers of the inner city.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're selling drugs. They would sell used RVs if they had the opportunity to sell used RVs.
Right.
Drugs is all that. That's point, the currency.
Point taken.
And that's what they're using.
Yeah.
So,
and yet they know it's against the law, but culturally it's not seen quite as criminally.
Culturally, it's a lot better to drive a Cadillac than to walk the line. So I'm saying that all those guys are potential businessmen, and they've all figured it out.
Yeah,
they've weighed the risk. In their case, it's LAPD or whatever the local PD is.
Yeah.
But that's the risk. Other people's, the risk is, the bank.
Yeah.
They're not dealing with the bank. They're dealing
dealers.
With the feds and whatever, and or getting shot. At least the bank doesn't shoot you. But, there's no doubt that a young Jay-Z had that mind working early. It's just he didn't have a currency other than drugs.
However, that's on paper, right? In reality, when people act these things out, there is an antisocial quality that stays with people that most of the time that engage in this kind of stuff. And once you have an antisocial mentality – it's hard to respect authority. It's hard to look at laws meaningfully. It's hard to do that.
Yeah. So this kid, where would you see him in 20 years?
If I see bad things. So here's the other part of the story I was dying to tell on TV. It just didn't fit. I remember when Dr. Phil did a special on a kid like this. It was a kid who was a maniac. It was even more obtuse. He was like imagine the Tasmanian devil in your house, like swirling around. And he had a little.
Her name's Natalia. I have one of those.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a male.
Uh-huh.
I think a male. It's
uh-huh.
worse, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he had little sisters who they were filming this kid smearing stuff on the wall. I think he got feces on the wall.
Yeah,
danger.
I mean, oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And but it was not usually that grotesque. It was just wild. And the sisters were running up to the camera going, "Help me, please. He's going to hurt us." And Phil goes, and the family comes in and goes, "Here's what you need to do. You need to quit your job and you need to spend every minute with this kid and take him fishing." I thought, oh, my God, that is such horrible advice.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to lose their insurance. This kid needs to be institutionalized and kept in an institution probably his entire life, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And your priority needs to be keeping those daughters safe from becoming impaired because of being around this kid. So the idea being that, all you got to do is love this kid more and everything's going to work out. No, it does not work like that.
Well, you got to understand, the advice givers give advice. And the guys who give free termite inspections find termites, and the guys who give free brake inspections find problems with your rotors and calipers and pads. You know what I mean? Dr. Phil gives advice. He doesn't say, this is a lost cause. Or there's nothing you can do.
Right,
but
he's got to do TV, too, to be fair. I mean, he's doing a television show, and who knows what they're putting on him.
Yeah. But I said to Lynette last night when she was watching your show. I said, look.
Tell her thank you, by the way.
This kid is beyond this point. He's in this percentile that, mom and dad, through giving him timeouts, is not going to cure this one on him. As long as you're going to manhandle the mic, you might as well get it next. It's
thank you.
Cooler there.
Thank you.
So, by the way, then I had this one, too. This was a weird – it's an interesting one, but it's one of those ones that I complain about all the time. Lynette said, take Sonny to the bathroom before you go to bed. Not Natalia, but Sonny, before you go to bed. Take him to the bathroom. So I said, all right. So I had a little nip of my red wine.
Your medicine.
I'm not going to apologize.
Your medicine.
My medicine. Yeah. And it was maybe midnight, and I went upstairs, and I walked into their bedroom through the bathroom because I've been cautioned more than once, don't use the bedroom door. It makes too much noise for them.
Okay.
Go in. You've never heard so many proclamations about a kid's comfort, you know, the crazy, turn the fan on. There's the, by the way, I was raised like veal on a service porch with no fan entire summer. No one ever went like, oh, my, get the air conditioning on, you know. But anyway, I was told, don't come through this door. This door is their bedroom door, but go around through the bathroom. I have, was busted. There's been once or twice where I've walked through the door where Lynette's been in the bedroom and they've just fallen asleep. She went, And for me, very, you tell me once and I'm good with most things. But this, because it was the door to their bedroom, somehow beckoned more than going around to the bathroom. But I did it probably two times and then I stopped. And then, and I actually had moments where I would be walking at the door, reaching for the knob, and I would stop and go, oops, and go around. You know, and I started having that happen. And then I just got into the pattern of just going around.
Right.
So I woke up Sonny. And I took him to the bathroom as requested. He had a boner, by the way, and was asleep.
Thanks for that.
And was peeing straight ahead. But not much was coming out. You know, he had a couple salvos that were just shot straight into tank. I didn't want to handle his tumescent junk, but I was trying to kind of push it down, you know, and he was peeing kind of. But he didn't really have any pee in him. And I thought, all right, that's not much. He didn't seem to wet his bed, so I don't know what happened. And then I went and put him down and put him in the bed. And then as I was walking out of the bedroom, I noticed a big piece of paper on the floor. The big piece of paper said, don't take Sonny. Take Natalia.
Oh. through the door you're not supposed to go through.
Yes.
Ah, nice.
Facing that direction.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, to be fair to her, in her mind, that's the one I take.
Right.
But I've corrected my course and behavior and now come through the other way. Now, you could see a piece of paper on the floor from the direction I was going. You just wouldn't read it. It would just seem like a piece of paper is laying on the floor.
Right.
So then I woke up Natalia, and she did seem to have a full bladder. But it is one of those things that I talk about all the time. This one's not on her, but it's why you create these patterns and systems because you want something. Meaning,
from the kids?
No, from your husband.
Oh, right.
You want to leave a note and go to bed.
Right.
But how do you know your husband's going to read that note?
Right.
Where do you put that note?
Right.
Well, if I enter 10 different ways on 10 different days, then you have no idea where to put that bed, where to put that note. But if you work the system, then there's an almost guaranteed chance I'll see it. The problem is I had screwed up. I had said, I shall not use that door, and then used it more than once in the subsequent year or so. And she'd been convinced that that's the door I use now.
I think you were probably a colonel in the SS in your other life, previous life.
Really? Thanks.
The Wehrschafter, you were. Yeah. Systems.
That's right.
Why efficiency.
Fred Pitt coming after me with that Jew with the baseball bat. Yeah. No, I just, it's my, look, it's the exact same. I'll tell you what, Drew, you tell me.
Yeah.
The nothing hurts my teeth more than it rained for the first time in what feels like 5 years here.
Right?
Here in Los Angeles. Yes, but if you drive along the Los Angeles freeways, you will see the sprinklers firing off.
Right. Mine too.
Right. And then you see the PSA for save water. It all counts, you know, and it's like, fuck you, fucking assholes. You don't even have your own shit together. There's something called a water sensor. It's a rain sensor. You can get it at Home Depot. They can hook this stuff up. I mean, I was driving along yesterday at 10:30 in the morning, whatever it was. The sprinklers were going off on along the side of the freeway, and I could see we were about 20 minutes away from a thunder shower. And I was like, why are these things going off? Why is there no, honestly, first off.
You know what people don't appreciate in other parts of the country? We pay a fortune for water. New York City, no water charges. You aware of that?
No, not aware of that.
Here, my water bill is approximates my mortgage. It gets close. And so, you know, that
no,
then you start paying attention when it rains.
If you live on a house with a little bit of land and a nice lawn, you can get into the thousands of dollars a month rain.
Easily
with the fucking water bill. So it's kind of a deal. So what I do, what I have everywhere, is I go, put the fucking drip system in. Don't put the sprinkler in.
You told me you were going to put one of those rain...
I have a rain sensor.
Sensor, yeah, yeah.
They're fucking $19 at Home Depot. The point is, I went to my house and I have a rain sensor. I have a rain sensor here at the shop. I pay for it. Thus, I pay the $20 and get the rain sensor and hook up the rain sensor because I pay for it. And I
don't... You pay for the water is what you're saying.
I pay for it.
Yeah.
The water... And the emotional whatever of seeing the sprinklers going while it's raining outside. Now, here's the thing. Our city, as I've said many times, so people go, remind me to bring this up, Gary, on the pod tonight. Is our city smart or are they stupid? Well, let's figure it out. They've invented a parking meter that senses when your car leaves and goes back to zero. That feels fairly advanced to me.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't install rain sensors in all their municipal sprinklers that are flooding the sides of the freeways while it's a driving rainstorm.
Right.
Hmm.
Let's just think about
it. Are they smart? They have technology. Let me try to figure out the variable here. They seem to have an abundance of technology when it comes
collecting dough from us.
Collecting dough from us, but not so on the ball.
And spending our dough.
And literally sending our dough down the drain.
Right, literally.
Literally. It's fucking raining outside and you have sprinklers going off. It's a metaphor for waste. It's a poster for waste. Like if you had a thing in your business that said, let's not be wasteful, people, you'd show a rainstorm with a sprinkler lawn genie going off, yes?
Yeah, and again, because we've spent so much time here, this is a matter of fact to us, but for the rest of the country, they have irrigation systems, sprinkler systems all on the side of the freeways, wherever you go, because otherwise we would just be dirt in this part of the world.
Right. Now, they could do what you see when you land in Phoenix or Vegas, which is be realistic, put literally ground cover, meaning a plastic or a cloth down, put some cactus in there and put some gravel on there, and that'd be the end of that. Yeah. By the way, it looks nice, too, because it works in the environment we're in.
However, it's Los Angeles. Where do you think that gravel would end up?
I think it'd be loaded. I think
I'd
it'd be pulling thrown out of people's, at people.
I'd be pulling out of people's ass in the emergency room. I
mean, right. Yeah. It'd be put in... to potato guns and fired at the homeless. There's no doubt. So, Drew, are we dumb or are we smart? Well, it just depends.
Well, they're diabolical.
Right. Whose money are we spending?
Right.
And then you can go from a macro level down to a micro level with that. I'm the guy who walks around my house and shuts all the lights.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the taxpayer of my house. And that's who's paying for it, so we do it. Does anyone in my family or the city of L.A. have something against water or electricity? No. It's just not really on their list of things to do.
I haven't talked to you about the shutdown thing. I don't know where you're at with that. What are your thoughts? Have you been talking about another podcast?
No.
Let's go.
What do you think? Well,
I'm going to warm you up for O'Reilly this week.
I don't give a shit about it.
Nobody gives a shit. I give a shit because the IRS isn't coming up my butt right now. It's awesome.
Right,
it's the best thing ever.
The look.
And by the way, I overpay my taxes. I more than pay my fair share because I don't ever want to be accused of other. I'm going to laugh.
Are you being audited?
Because I'm me. It's very simple. You just get them. They went to my office. I lose money in my office to keep it open, to keep my employees paid, and to see my patients. I lose a lot of money every year there.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on here? They went over and interviewed my office staff.
Right.
They assumed I'm laundering money through this thing. How would you? You're a bad guy. You can't possibly be losing money there. You must be laundering money there.
Good use of the taxpayers' money, by the way. Sending the guy over to talk to the head nurse over at the Drewski office. Look, here's, you know, I say to people all the time, and I shouted.
I'm not paying my fair share. But here's what I'm gonna laugh at is they're gonna owe me money. I know it.
Okay.
Because I overpay everything.
I have this feeling, which is I have this saying, which is I say to people, don't show up Monday, see if anything changes. Because I don't think it will. So the government shutdown is they don't show up on Monday and see if anything changes, number one.
It was so funny. All you heard was this whining, like, we can't go to the Statue of Liberty.
All right.
Okay. All right. That's the worst thing that happens in the government shutdown.
Well, first off, it started in a micro world with the sequestration, which is we're not going to have tours of the White House. I really don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't understand how President Obama can shut down the tours of the White House and then just go on golf vacations. I think it's the weirdest, most pompous and arrogant message to send to the people when you say, hey, it's time for everyone to tighten their belts and roll up their sleeves. There's a lot of hardworking folks that, factories shut down and communities are going to have to band together. Now fire up the helicopter. I'm going golfing. It's a weird symbolic. Of course, everything is symbolic.
Well, I think
but it's symbolic, and that means something to me. It's arrogant, I've said many times, put the fucking driving simulator down in the basement of put it down in the bunker.
And ask Mickelson over.
And get Tiger Woods and Mickelson over, fly him in with the helicopter, and get a fucking cooler bud and a couple of cools and just fucking have your time there. But don't go out to Maui on a golfing vacation when you're in the middle of the sequestration, and don't spend $11,000 to fly your dog in who got left behind on the vacation. That's a weird, arrogant thing to do. I don't understand it. And now, to me, the symbolic punishment. So what happened, in my view, is they go, we're going to shut the government down. And I think people, by and large, go, who cares? You claimed during the sequestration old people
it was
would be
gonna
dying
kill us. Yeah,
and planes would be falling out of the sky and nothing fucking happened. Now you're claiming this again. So they say, yeah. And then they do these things like, all right, the World War II
museum.
Veterans, not even a museum.
The outdoor memorial,
Outdoor memorial, which doesn't have, it's not staffed by people. It's just in the middle of an outdoor plaza.
Yeah.
You have to go shut it down. Now you have to put barriers around it. Now you take more people and more expense to actually put guards there to staff it, to shut it down. Are you shutting down scenic overviews so that we can't look at the Grand Canyon or we can't look at, Mount Cheyenne or whatever the hell we want to look? You're putting barricades where the formerly nobody there, where you'd pull over your car and look at something.
Yeah.
By the way, first off, let me explain something. We own that. We own that. That's ours. This is our land. We've elected you to govern it, but not to shut us off from our land. It's a weird fucking overreach. It's arrogant.
Well, it's both.
And it feels punitive.
Well, you definitely didn't watch the rest of my program, because later in the show I talked about how on both sides this dysfunction, this lack of leadership, is affecting people. I think the reason mentally ill people are driving their cars into the White House and getting shot and stuff is because they're freaked out. It's like having parents fighting, and of course then the most sensitive amongst us act out.
It's interesting.
You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
And so I say both sides, leaders, lead. Yes, you're administrators. Yes, you're bureaucrats. Yes, you have to create policy and laws. You're good at that. Lead. Because people are getting fucked up by the dysfunction.
I would like to shrink government.
And it's in keeping what you were saying, too, with the golfing and stuff. That's not good leadership. Lead. Lead by example. You eat Twinkies. You eat top ramen for lunch. Whatever. You know what I mean? Let's roll up our sleeves. Let's all do this together. Let's go.
I don't like my only thoughts on the government shutdown. I don't like this part of it, and this is how it appears to me. It appears to me that the president says, we're going to shut the government down, and when we do shut the government down, you're all going to pay. I mean, you're going to feel it. It is going to be it's going to be very impactful in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, all right, you asked for it, shut it down. And we shut it down. And the general consensus is, No big deal. I'm going to catch a flight, go to Minneapolis, do a couple shows, get paid, do a Mangria signing, come home again.
Less than no big deal.
Less than no big deal. As a matter of fact,
some people are affected, to be fair.
Right,
but
to be fair.
You have to find those people.
For me, I'm happy. I think I speak for many people who go, look, I wanted governments. I wanted a smaller government. And by the way, this government shutdown is not a government shutdown. It is a small percentage of the government shutting down. It's not the government shutting down.
Right.
But all right.
It's a piece of it.
So you do that. And
stuff
then,
they should have shrunk anyway, probably.
Yes.
This is sort of proving that point in a weird way.
And then, of course it is. This is you not showing up for work on Monday and everything just going along just fine. Maybe we don't need you as many hours. Maybe you don't need 40 hours. Maybe we don't need to pay 40 hours a week. But all right. You made the threat. You shut it down. And nothing happened. So now we have to make sure you feel it symbolically.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you feel it symbolically is at the World War II Veterans Memorial, is at the overlooks,
right,
and shutting down the national parks and other things that formally either required almost nothing to run. There's stories about volunteers saying they'll run it and having guards and, you know, park people saying no volunteers, this thing shut down. There's a lot of that, which, again, symbolically feels like now we're being punished. And I don't like when the American president almost has contempt for his people. That's what it feels like to me. You don't feel the sting of this, then you're going to feel the sting of it through these symbolic gestures that really mean nothing, or if anything, costs more money to do. Again, a big outdoor plaza with a big, you know, cement monolith in it. Would we have to close that off to the elderly veterans? Leave them alone. And who's going to look bad in this equation? And I think that's what's happening. I think the people are sort of waking up and going, all this doom and gloom, you know, all this, I feel the same with this as I feel with the horrible race baiters. They got the first black president in there, and they all doubled down on their efforts to create a bigger chasm between white, black, or black, Hispanic, or whatever the chasms were. It's like they rolled up their sleeves, and they got to work double time on this because they felt their business slipping between their fingers, which is this race baiting. And so we've doubled down on it. I don't care about the government shutting down. I wish it shut down even more. I really do. And, you know,
it's interesting. It's showing the importance of local governments, in my opinion. You begin to realize what's important to you is your city governments and things. I'm with the trash collector. I'm with the cops. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And city governments is really where stuff gets done. And if you look at the founding of this country, that was their original principle. Local democracies are, and the habit of local democratic participation is really what created the system.
All right. Let's shrink it.
All right.
That's all I'm saying. I like shrink that government, baby. I don't know why. Look, I would be for bigger government if I thought it ever fucking worked. It's like, you know, LA Unified School District. It's just a fucking behemoth that just keeps growing and growing and growing and burning more money and burning more money and burning more money, and test scores keep getting lower. Like, there's nothing there. I mean, the idea of, oh, if only they had more money. They had less money 20 years ago and the grades were higher.
Yeah, we should have a meeting.
Yeah, let's have a meeting. Let's get some more bureaucrats in and sit down and have a meeting. A go to meeting, baby. Oh, man, you want to build a strong relationship with your team, man? It's the key to business, man. You need to meet. You need to brainstorm. You need to collaborate regularly. But how are you going to do it, man?
We could show. You could throw up there the graphs of the declining test scores and the graphs of the increasing expense.
From the links in Maui.
That's right.
It's troubles. This company's hurting, people. Hold on. You play through. You guys play through. Where was I? Oh, we're hurting as a company. Yeah. Look at the graph. This is a disaster. Hold on a second. The chick with the beer carts here. Hold on a second.
Well, you could have your iPad and do it right there with the...
Do you have Corona Light? Or just regular?
We'll put it on mute. Put it on mute when that happens.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Heineken Light. No? Any light? Oh. Amstel's good. Okay, Amstel. Anyway, we're hurting. This company's... This company is hurting. It's declining sales, people. And we need to, hold on. Bert, go ahead. You go ahead, Bert. I'll go after you guys. Let those guys play through. Anyway, go to meeting with HD Faces. Okay.
What? Oh, yeah, they're going to go back to golfing. Okay, no. Okay. HD Faces. Okay. Hey, Citrix.
Mm-hmm. Buy Citrix. Mm-hmm. You can share the screen. You work on the documents in real time. Yep. You turn your meeting into a HD video conference. Launch or join a meeting from any computer, iPhone, tablet, even your iPad. Yeah, your phone.
Wherever you are.
Whatever
you
like. Doesn't matter. Try GoToMeeting free. 30 days free. Do not wait. GoToMeeting.com. Click on the try it free button. Use the promo code Adam. Go to meeting. Meeting is believing. All right. Yes, again, I realize there's a waste everywhere, but the symbolism, literally, of I'm going to go golfing while you guys, you know, wait in a job line is a modern version of let them eat cake.
Mm.
Hmm. It is. It's saying, I'm stuck on this point because I find it so symbolic. And it shows a lack of self-awareness to me.
I don't think it's just him. I think a lot of people.
Of course. It's many people.
The leadership is lacking. People don't know how to lead.
Agreed. Unfortunately, when you take the gig as captain of the ship and you tell everyone just to eat their gruel and then you're dining on pheasant, it just doesn't look. I'm not saying don't dine on pheasant. I'm saying shut the windows, draw the drapes, and go down and do it quietly. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying don't hit the bucket of balls with Tiger. I'm just saying don't do it publicly.
Right. Pay attention to the impact of your leadership choices.
Right. All right. Anyway, we're for the government shutdown. Right. All right. Want to take some phone calls
Let's
here?
Let's do it.
What do you got over here?
IVF, antibiotics.
All right. I'm just going to the top.
Yeah.
Hey, Jack. Jake.
Yes.
25. What's up?
Hey guys, I just basically am. I'm a 25-year-old husband and father, and I'm very happy that way. And I'm just trying to find a way to balance work and family time, and try to squeeze a little bit of my own recreational time with my friends in. But I don't want to be an asshole at the same time. So I'm wondering what the fine balance is between all that.
The fuck kind of question?
I'm not even sure I got the question.
No one cares, Jake. Here's the thing. Is your wife reasonable?
Absolutely.
What would be your recreation?
Just going to hang out with friends and go to watch a movie or go to hit a bucket of balls at the local driving range or something like that.
All right. Hold on a second. Women I've found, as they mature, do not feel the threat of you going out with your friends and seeing a movie and going out for some drinks.
That's much later. What he's going to be feeling now.
Yes.
Yeah, what he's going to be feeling now is the impact of these kids. I need help.
Right.
You're abandoning me.
Right. But even pre-kids, women, younger women,
I feel threatened.
They hate the notion of, you would like to have fun, and that fun is not going to include them.
Well, and not that. They know how groups of guys behave and talk. And
They're not going out whoring. They're just, the idea is, I want to have fun, and I would have more fun if you weren't here, is really sort of the long and the short of it. And that doesn't feel good to them. And people are going to have to kind of reconcile that.
Successful relationships do negotiate that, right? And that's why there's no answer to Jake's question. It's like, that's between you and she. You got to figure that shit out.
But it's also, I think, Drew, it's a bigger question. And it's not only a relationship question with an intimate relationship, but also spills into friendships and things like that. I'm talking about Jimmy Kimmel going fly fishing with Huey Lewis. Why wasn't I invited? No, the point is,
whoa,
he likes fly fishing and so does Huey.
Yeah.
It sounds
everyone
like
knows you're expert at that.
It sounds like a fun time, but I'm not into fly fishing.
But you could be. You're mechanically inclined. You could. He knows you could have picked it up.
They
easily.
Both know it. And the point is my feelings aren't hurt because they like fly fishing.
Right, right.
And that's cool. And you have to have that in your life. Otherwise, you're going to walk around kind of disappointed.
Say that differently. I understand.
You have to have the ability to
assess these things.
I like doing car stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Jimmy likes doing fly fishing stuff. But then the following weekend, we'll get together and eat a steak because that's what we do agree on.
Right.
You know? And you have to have that in your family relationship a little bit as well. then it the has only to caveat, be fine with both parties.
The only warning, though, is when there are little kids around, you've got to double down and everyone's got to pitch in. And marital satisfaction actually hits its low point during grade school years of the kids. Oh, every marriage, it just goes because the stress is up. The what you get out of it is not there. You're putting in, putting in, putting in. Everyone's stressed. Mm-hmm. And it marriages that survive that come out much higher later.
All right. We got another question you like
there? Let's go to five.
Line five. Jude, and you know what I would say to Jake is, look, I think everyone has to have a reasonable meter in them, which is, hey, it's been 3 weeks, and now I want to go see a movie with my buddies, and it's an action movie that you're not going to be interested in. So I'd like to go do that. But then the following morning, I'll take the kids, and you go out and get your mani-pedi. And right. If you go through life that way, you should be fine. Now, if the person says, I'm terribly upset by this, then you have an unreasonable person, and you're going to have to start working on that.
That's right. Okay. And there's always a little bit of that in there, by the way, right? On one side or the other. Guy wants to go out a little too much. Girls.
Sure. Jude? 23.
Hey, man, get it on.
New Hampshire, what's going on?
Not much. I'm just actually moving out to Los Angeles at the end of the month, and I wanted to know what areas to avoid.
Where are you? What are you moving for?
Los Angeles.
Yeah, Los Angeles, like, there's 90 cities in this area.
Okay.
What are you doing? Where are you moving to?
I'm moving to Santa Monica or Manhattan Beach, somewhere around that area. But I needed a recommendation on a city that is, you know, kind of central, because I'm not going to have a car for my first couple months out there.
Yeah,
you're not going to survive.
You don't need a car out here.
What?
The public transportation. So
you're going to a place called the South Bay. There's a series of cities in that general vicinity. They're all amazing. You can't go wrong, right? Wouldn't you think?
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
But you're going to still need a car. There's no getting around those cities. You can't even get from the
car.
Beach.
It's one more dick
what
on
the
freeway.
Hell? If he lived in Hermosa, he couldn't be able to get to Manhattan Beach even.
What's he planning on doing?
Well, I actually majored in advertising in college. I worked for a year, like this past year, 2012, recruiting. And I just always wanted to live in L.A. or somewhere sunny because I hate the New Hampshire weather. And so I've just been saving up money.
Okay, you understand you're going to be living about an hour away from the kinds of jobs you want.
Oh, no, I understand. I'm actually, for the past summer, I left that recruiting job in May, and I was living on Martha's Vineyard for the summer, just kind of saving up money, working, you know.
I don't think you heard me. If you live in the South Bay, you're going to be living about an hour away by car from where you're going to be working.
Yeah, but he doesn't have a car. He doesn't need a car.
Yeah, right.
What I'm saying is I just kind of want to work like a wait job or a cash job, you know, save up some more cash first. I'm not really into the cubicle life yet. I did it for a year.
All right. Listen, he's coming out here. He knows where he's going to live. He'll figure it out. Yeah. I hope he has friends or some connections out here. But, you know, stay away from the places that sound nice, like Hawaiian Gardens and Panorama City, places like that. What you want is the sort of places that don't sound like anything, like Encino. You asked me, where would you rather live if I was from New Hampshire, Encino or Hawaiian Gardens? I'd say definitely Hawaiian Gardens. That's where they filmed all those Elvis movies.
Oh, my God. Is that true?
No.
Oh, Hawaiian.
If I lived in New Hampshire.
I see. Got it.
But the reality is you'd be much better off in Encino.
Much better off.
And, Drew, this is why I've always said this. Number one, I don't want these cities to have a name. I want them to have a number.
A rank. Sort of quality of life rank?
Yes. Mm. I will have a chart that's how much gum on the sidewalk versus median income versus how long it takes the cops to show up when you call 911 and all that kind
of
stuff.
But you know, all
and I will factor it all in and
all
we will have
here,
a
though,
number.
All of it here would rank lower than most places around the country where you can live.
Of course, but it would get Hawaiian Gardens off their ass. Okay.
You're right. They wouldn't be living on the laurels of that name.
They'd have a number. Number one. Number two, I feel the same way about this gerrymandering that goes on with the fucking trick-or-treating every year. Mm. Where all the people from the shitty neighborhoods just pack their kids up and take them to the nice neighborhoods and go, man, why don't you go get some candy from the intact families who studied hard. I don't go for that
they
bullshit.
They need to pay their fair share.
Fuck that. You go walk around your own shitty neighborhood, go look at all your dirt lawns and your fucking sofas on the front porch, and get the shit fixed. You go get some candy corn with cat hair in it. see how fucking shitty it is, and then get your own shit together.
Candy corn and cat hair, it sounds intriguing.
Yeah. We ain't going to cure your shit by you coming to my neighborhood. You're going to cure your shit by taking a nice leisurely stroll around your piece of shit neighborhood. That's how you cure it. Because you go, hey, our neighborhood sucks. Perhaps we should put some seed down on the lawn where the dirt is now. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I hate when all these fucking people do this thing where they go, well, there's this whole socioeconomic thing. Let me tell you something. Curb appeal. A front yard. That's all effort. That's almost no money and all fucking effort. Having a coat of paint on your front picket fence, that's $19 of paint at the Home Depot, $4 worth of foam roller, and then you putting a Saturday in. That's not a high dollar item. That's applying paint. Paint doesn't essentially cost anything. It's the application that takes a lot of time. Same with the weed pulling. Same with the raking and the quiet and the going again down to Home Depot and buying the little potted plants and putting them down in the ground. Like I said, the indigenous stuff with the sack of gravel. We're talking about $100 on the whole front fucking yard.
It's got to be watered, though. That's the part that's
no,
kind of crazy.
Not the cactus. Right. It does not have to be watered.
So we need to have like a movement here.
No, we need to
gravel
fucking
and cactus.
Tell. Listen, whether it's making your own kid his own fucking breakfast.
Chris is thinking about changing his yard. I see it. It's gravel and cactus.
And I'm getting a rain sensor.
Taking notes.
Yeah.
That's right.
The point is whether it's giving your kid breakfast or keeping your own curb and neighborhood and front yard looking nice, that'll be up to you. Stop listening to the fucking Huffington Post, which turns it into some sort of socioeconomic whatever, which is the ultimate form of racism. Take care of your own fucking yard and your own fucking kid. It costs pennies a day, and you get the satisfaction of feeding your kid and feeding your roses.
Ooh.
Powerful. Powerful.
Or your cactus.
Or your cacti. And, you will not grow angry at the person that gives you the handouts because you won't need any. All right, Drew, do you agree with me about this front yard shit or
yeah,
not?
Yeah, no, I agree.
All right, so why
it's
not?
It's hard to argue with it.
Yes, it's impossible to fucking argue with it. Why won't people do it? And whose fault is it? And what shall we do? And is there ever going to be enough money? All right, Drew, wake up.
I'm up. Let's do four.
All right, Drew.
Yeah.
What do you got in front of you? Wake up.
Four.
No.
I'm sick. I'm ill.
Let's do a read.
Come on, wake up.
Come on, buddy.
I got something called stamps.com.
Ah.
Which are guys that I've been using. We were early adopters. My wife is more computer literate than myself, and she found this thing called stamps.com, and she was printing stamps in our house. And I thought for sure she was like a counterfeiter.
Mm-hmm.
Because, no, stamps are like they're currency. And she's printing this stuff up with, and strangely, sometimes it had like my kids' pictures on the stamps.
Mm.
Like real weird.
Sure.
Witchcraft.
Like they'd run away.
How'd that happen?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So everyone knows that it's a pain to go to the post office. You don't have to anymore. 24/7, you've got your own post office right in your office at your computer. Postage on demand 24/7. Buy or print U.S. postage for any letter, any package. It's your own computer. And then just hand it to the mailman. Special. We have a special no-risk trial. $110 bonus. That will include a digital scale.
Mm.
You hook it up to your computer, and you can weigh anything, get the exact postage of what it is.
Uh-huh.
You're going to then print out the exact postage. And they're giving you $55 free postage.
What?
That's like literally, you've done this already, Chris, right? You print out the $55 of postage. There's no difference between the $55 of postage and $55 in bills. It's the same thing.
He used it to send himself to Seattle.
Oh, is that how he got there?
Mm-hmm.
I wondered how he did that. Anyway, but you only get this if you use the promo code ADS up in the right-hand corner. Go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click the microphone at the top of the homepage, then type in ADS. That is stamps.com, promo code ADS.
Sweet, Drew.
All right.
And all from the heart. All right, speaking of Seattle, Neptune Theater Saturday, Portland on Friday, Aladdin Theater, just the late show. And me signing some Mangria, Maine Brew in Oregon and Seattle and Bellevue, Washington at the BevMo. Look out, world. I've arrived. That's Sunday.
Wow, you finally got BevMo on the hook.
11 a.m.
Woo!
That's right. Look, if you guys would like to support us and the pirate ship and Dr. Drewski over here, he's being audited, man. He needs a little pocket money to fight off the man.
Mm.
You click through the Amazon link at Adam and DrDrewsShow.com. Doesn't cost you a penny. Or if you got a couple of pennies, subscribe via the PayPal button. I'd say $5 a month. Good juju. All right. And me and Dr. Drew Reunion Tour, Volume 1, man. All three shows, just under $5. Available now at AdamCarolla.com and on iTunes. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew, Chris Max Patton, Gary Haftard saying, mahalo.
This is Carolla Digital.